Hi, I'm Lindsey Graham, the host of Wondery's American Scandal. Our newest series looks at Aaron Hernandez, a star football player who shocked the world with a brutal crime. But behind Hernandez's violent actions lay a much larger health crisis affecting the entire sport. Listen to American Scandal on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crossover. This is Gay Crappens, Watch What Crappens, and Reality Gays here talking about Ladies of the 80s, colon, A Diva's Christmas. And we were just now, on part two, we were just now starting to talk about the plot of the movie.
Yes. Part one was more of a general overview, discussions, yeah. Impressions, thoughts, and
preamble.
Reactions.
I enjoyed that. I thought that. Yeah.
Thoughts about movies, how the movie was put together, things the actor, the
it's
makers could have done.
You missed it. Okay, go back and listen to it. We're not going to catch it. This isn't Cliff's notes for what you already missed. Go back and listen to the fucking thing.
And if you haven't watched Ladies of the 80s, you don't.
I think you're fine.
But yeah.
Probably okay.
I think you're fine.
So you're watching Ladies of the 80s right now. And guess what? We're living minute by minute. So Ben, go ahead. We have not let Ben finish this sentence for 10 fucking
minutes. I'm just trying to launch the recap. So for those who do want to watch it, it is available on Lifetime. Go to the Lifetime website and look up Ladies of the 80s and add to their fives of views. So it starts off with a song that I don't remember the tune because it's not quite as catchy as the Ladies of the 80s song, but the lyrics are, December comes, it brings a joy I can't explain. Though years may change, the Christmas spirit always remains the same. It's Christmas time, the magic is in the air. It's Christmas time, whoa. You can feel it everywhere.
Whoa.
It feels so right.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa. And as we're hearing this, we are seeing shots from all around Los Angeles. We see Rodeo Drive. We see the Christmas tree at the Grove. We see Fox Studios, which doesn't really make any sense.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. I was confused by that too.
Like one of the least like scenic and visually appealing studios in Los Angeles.
Paramount Gate? Yeah.
Like no. Let's just show this generic facade.
And
just
show these, water towers necessary.
I think they had a drill because then they showed Century City, and I know because I used to work there in Malafa, which is right by the Fox Studios. So I think they just had a because they did Beverly Hills as well. So
a lot
I think
of Beverly Hills.
Just, secretly, like the director's like nephew knows how to do drone stuff for real estate stuff, and they just had them fly around Century City and get everything.
It was Wardell, like, here's the Westfield Mall.
Fox thing. I guess we're gonna put it in the movie.
Yeah,
don't have
there's
a lot the of
container
B-roll.
Store.
Well, this song was basic, but I know
it's
that
to
any it's just a parking garage of the Grove. They're like, do it. I think
you think it's Christmas lights, but it's just the light showing which parking spots are available at the mall.
They are red and green.
They are.
That place scares the shit out of me. It just feels like Squid Game to me. It's
the Grove.
Like the red and green lights. When,
Century City.
I think it's Century City Mall.
Oh, Century City. Yeah.
Oh, that's my favorite mall.
Well, this made any gay person excited from this era because the real thing we see at the beginning is Lonnie Anderson, Morgan Fairchild, Linda Gray, Donna Mills, Nicolette Sheridan. I was like, oh my God, it's going to be amazing. Like 12-year-old Ronnie was like, yes, bitch.
I was very excited.
Mother.
Yeah.
Who? Can I ask a question? Just who is this movie for? Is it people who are just, is it for us?
It's for Morgan Fairchild, actually.
It's for us. I think it was for us, but it was neutered before it was delivered to us. It was
right.
Like, hey, gay people, this is what you're supposed to be like now. You're supposed to be this tame now. Like you guys have had your 80s, your snapping and your head rolling and your sassiness. And guess what? It's 2023. People, and now you don't get that anymore. So enjoy your fucking gift. And I say,
people in nursing homes.
It's for people who enjoy movies with light to no conflict and very few stakes. And, you know, cider. They want the cider scenes.
Yeah.
You want to see your old friends, you know, and like the people that you love. And I did. I mean, when I saw even their names, I was like, oh my God. But, and I loved seeing them through the whole thing. Like, I feel even bad saying that it's bad because, like, I love all those ladies who are
me
in
too.
It.
Me too.
You know, I just they just didn't give me what I wanted. Okay.
I'm happy they're working. It was good to see, you know, but sometimes it reminded me of Jake and I once, who was in it, Poodle? We went to go see a stage production of a show called Legends.
Oh my God. It was Linda Evans and Joan
Collins.
Joan Collins.
Zelda? And was Zelda in it?
No, the play was so bad.
So it's like based on an older play, like from the 30s.
Well, then they redid it, but it was so bad that they delivered the dialogue, and like it was kind of a, like offensive.
They didn't take out the racial jokes, they didn't take them out.
Oh no.
But like it was so bad and it wasn't funny. It reminded me of this. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Because the camp wasn't really there. They just played the camp.
We left at intermission and went and got drunk.
Then Linda Evans just could not stand up. Joan Collins had some really good line deliveries.
She had some good lines.
But Linda Evans just could not compete. We're pretty sure that wrestling.
It was halting too when she spoke, so we're pretty sure Linda Evans had a feed in her ear.
Oh, yeah. No.
Like beating her line. Anyway, it reminded me of that because that toured around the country. And when we went to see that show, it was older people who wanted the nostalgia, gay men, and then like a few queer dears who were obsessed with gay men.
And queer dears. I like that. That is a very 2023 version of that.
That's what I call queer dears. They're dear
I just
to
love
us.
The idea of Linda like Evans that. On like a live feed. Who is the poor person who has to read Linda Evans' lines?
Charlie's so coming in. Charlie, tell everyone what you've been doing.
I read Linda Evans' lines to her through an earpiece. In the play called
She's
Legends.
So tall. It was this white ghost floating, blonde ghost just floating around the stage. It was
her hair was ethereal. It was beautiful.
It was insane.
Linda Evans. I would have liked it for Joan Van Ark to also have been in that play.
Yes.
I thought that would have been a good combination.
Linda Evans does have that kind of hair. It's just so golden, but it also is like static cling hair. Like, you know, the commercials with static cling where it's just kind of like, it's kind of like floating above the actual hairline and all the, and it's always backlit. So I can imagine that they probably had like a special gay just with a flashlight behind Linda just to make that static cling hair.
She looked otherworldly. Yeah.
He would do that during the night, and then on his off nights, he'd work at the sex theater and run the cinema there.
Little known fact, Linda Evans is the creative inspiration behind The Legend of Zelda. No.
Oh. That actually kind of makes sense. I know.
Could you imagine?
Oh my God, she is like Zelda. Yes.
That's why they keep kidnapping Zelda. They're like, oh my God, you guys, Zelda cannot remember her lines. Okay, kidnap her at the beginning and we'll just get her back at the end of the video game.
Okay. That's why she never speaks.
Also, this movie, you're right that there was no location budget. Like, it was weird how every scene with an outside person was via FaceTime.
Yes! Thank you.
I'm glad you brought this up. I'm really glad you brought this up because I meant to mention this in the preamble episode, which is that this all took place in one house. It was like a bottle episode of a TV show. It was like literally just in a house. Everything that needed to happen was in the house.
They filmed this in 3 days. I fuck you not. I bet it was filmed in like 3 or 4.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Which is why they didn't have chances to do retakes on some of the horrific line readings.
And one whole day was just like massages for cast and crew.
One whole day was styling Lonnie Anderson's wigs.
Oh, we're going to talk about that later.
One whole day was just contouring Donna Mills. They were like, you know what? We're going to really take our time with this. Bring in the heavy makeup. Okay, so now here we are at the beginning. Okay, so they're blowing smoke in this like Malibu mansion because, oh my God, it's LA. It doesn't snow there. It's so good. So the young Aussie guy is like, we need winter snow, yeah? Like, think winter in the middle of Michigan, yeah? Are we going to do that? Yeah.
Yeah.
And LA's like, you're standing on the snow hose.
Yeah, because the snow goes away. He's like, where did it go? He's like, you're standing on it.
And he keeps saying, I think what really, and you know, usually with these movies, you get expositional dialogue for like the first 10 minutes.
Oh my You're used to that. God.
The expositional dialogue lasted like the first 45 minutes of this movie.
It was a lot.
Because he's like, I'm a producer and it's all on the dawn and we need, I wish he would have been like just cussing, like really like gross, like we need motherfucking snow. Like just really. Yeah. Well,
they tried to make him like that in the
Scrooge.
Beginning.
What if he was the Scrooge and didn't really believe in Christmas, and then all of these old women got him to believe in Jesus.
No, he needs to get with the woman. That's the most important thing, because it's lifetime, so he needs to get with the woman because that's God's plan.
Well, but also, like, they were trying to make him like a fussy director, you know, because he's like, I don't like this tree. It's like, oh, this tree, I'm just not a fan of it. Maybe we move it a little bit, la da da. And then the PAs are like spraying him with snow, which, by the way, you're fired. That's your writer and producer. So you don't spray your you don't spray him with your fake snow.
It's just Silver Dollar City where you can mock your boss.
Yeah, and then there's like a Mandy Patinkin type inside who's trying to like do the set decoration.
That was the breakdown.
And he's like
finishing the hut. Finishing the hut and light on the light.
Did you notice though how every crew person was which is a common but mostly an older trope for movies about movies, was portrayed as an absolute troll? Like the woman, like the grip was like, yeah, I don't care. I'm just here because they just take me out of a box and I just behave.
Next year, Lifetime should just have like Ladies of the 80s, a very below the line Christmas or something. Just grips and best boys.
And like, what's weird is this is, if he is make sure I get his title correct, writer producer. If he's the writer-producer, these are all, like, his best people. First of all, there's not a lot of staff on this film or TV show that I could see. There's no set dressers. It seems like he's doing all this himself.
Yeah.
And he is...
There's not even a lighting crew, as far as we can see, by the way.
He is dressed like a studio executive, not a writer-producer. He should have, like, a MetLife windbreaker.
Yes.
That he dressed down and should be have a hat on that he borrowed from a member of the crew and New Balances.
He needs a true writer producer will also be probably wearing a cap that says something like USC Film School or something like that, or like a t-shirt from a different show, like a t-shirt that says like Becker on it, you know,
Becker with the WGA pin.
The naked truth, okay? And so so he's just yelling,
brothers and sisters.
She's the sheriff. So
I loved that show. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Suzanne Summers. So the Brit's like, careful, everyone, careful. This is a rented property. You can't be dropping ornaments, Mandy Patinkin. Unfortunately, the network bunk
going out of my salary.
Unfortunately, the network budget doesn't allow us to pay for damages, and it all comes out of my salary. And as a writer and producer, it's not much.
Remember, I'm a writer and producer.
Okay, as a multi-hyphenate writer producer, I'm almost a predator, but I don't have the editor section yet.
Now, and then they have actually not Chris Evans' brother, but Hot Scott Evans.
Hot Scott Evans.
Who's doing the hosting. This is actually, I do really think he was one of the, besides the women, he was one of the better actors in the movie.
He was.
Just because he was just being a host, so he didn't have to act.
I was confused about his motivation, though, through the entire, what was he... Was he supposed to try to steal her?
Well, it was decided to make him a villain out of nowhere. Like, he's just supposed to be the one, delivering information for us. He's the Greek chorus. And all of a sudden, we actually are, supposed to be, not like him.
And then the turn happens. I was very confused.
I think she needs a love interest, but they're like, we can't cast anybody else, and we can't get anybody else over FaceTime. So what are we going to do? Who else is
Alec Mop is too gay.
Yeah, Alec Moffat was in it. That was crazy to see him. And he was so, well, look at him. He's coming up in hour four of this podcast. coming up. So he's like, this, and this exposition cracked me up too, because he's like, canceled longtime popular soap opera Great Lakes is getting a reprieve, known for its annual family Yuletime episodes. They're going to air one night to show us beautiful moments. Like, everything he said was like, and now it's Christmas time and we're having a Christmas movie with five ladies of the 80s who were in a soap opera together. They slapped each other a lot. Let's watch ladies slap each other. They're from a soap opera.
That was fun. The montage was funny.
This is what I actually, when this montage happened, I really did think we were going to get something campy like that TV movie I mentioned, like based on an untrue story. So we see Lonnie Anderson go, how dare you? And she slaps someone. And then we see Linda Gray say, how could you? And she slaps someone. And then we see Morgan Fairchild in front of like two people. And she goes, go to hell. And she slaps one person. And then she laughs and she goes, and you too. And slaps the other person. And I like legitimately laughed. I like had like a moments. Full like... There was noise there coming out of my moments. Mouth.
Yeah.
Yes, there was moments. Noise coming out of your mouth.
I think that was the only time I legitimately laughed at the movie. I think I laughed at the movie.
I did laugh, and we'll talk to it, but we did. Well, it's right after that when Morgan is talking to Alec Moffat, her agent, and when she does say, what is she doing, monkey glands? That made me laugh.
Like, you can.
Is that a thing? I mean, listen, I was like, whatever they're doing. I mean, where are they? Can we do that? Is that the thing we can do? Because I'm going
in
tomorrow.
Is that the new Botox? I will ask. I'll do it. I'll do it all.
It feels illegal, which intrigues me. So
that's how you know it's good. Come on.
Did you like the AI joke? The very timely.
I actually did.
He went, next up will be the nut from the creators of an AI Christmas.
That made me laugh too.
Same. Yes, actually, yes. And so I thought after the slap thing and the AI Christmas thing, I was like, this is going to be a funny movie.
Yeah,
it would have been if it didn't seem like this entire movie was written by ChatGPT. They're just like, okay, put soap opera ladies at a Christmas. They're like, I'm a soap opera lady at a Christmas. I was like, come on, guys.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
It's almost that magical time of year.
Speaking of, what's your favorite Christmas story, Ben?
Hands down, The Grinch.
Same.
It cracks me up that he hates all the merriment.
Right, and he steals everyone's presents.
But then it's like so heartwarming at the end when like the whole town is still singing and he realizes that there's more to Christmas than just gifts.
Oh, I know. It hits me right in the feels.
Best part is, Wondery has a new podcast starring The Grinch. And I think there's someone who wants to tell you more about it, Ronnie.
It's me, the Grand Poobah of Bah Humbug, the OG Green Grump, the Grinch. From Wondery, 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show is a pathetic attempt by the people of Whoville to use my situation as a teachable moment. So join me, the Grinch. Listen as I launch a campaign against Christmas cheer, grilling celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. Your family will love the show. As you know, I'm famously great with kids. Follow 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, by the way, the key thing that we did learn from all this is that this show, Great Lake, is now streaming only and it's going to be ending. And they're going to have like one final live Christmas show, which for some reason in the history of soap operas in movies and TV, like soaps within the show you're watching, they love these like live soap opera episodes, which I don't believe has ever happened in the history of soap operas since the 1950s, right? Like, this does not happen on soap operas. There are no such thing as live soap opera episodes. But like, you watch Tootsie, when I was a kid. You watch Soap Dish. Did it?
I don't know. Poodle watched Days of Our Lives a lot. I don't know.
I watched Days. Luke and Laura. Was Luke and Laura live? Their wedding?
I don't think. No, everything was taped. Everything, I believe. I'm not a. That's Luke and Laura was General Hospital, right? Yeah. I'm not sure. I think it's soap operas are such a filmed medium. Are such a in the can, we'll edit it, we'll do this. I can imagine live is something that happens.
Yeah. I feel like every movie that's about a soap opera, it always comes down to, we're going to do a live episode. I'm like, this doesn't really happen, but I'm for it. Like, it's fun. So, why not?
To clarify, it seemed like you said something, and I was confused about this the whole time. it seems like the show's been done a while, and they were going to air one last episode, or had it been running?
Well, it doesn't really make sense, because they're saying
it doesn't.
The show has been canceled, but they're going to have one live episode. But then they act like they haven't seen each other in 20 years. So I'm yes!
It sounds,
sure.
it sounds like it was canceled, but there was no closure on the storyline. So
right.
Like, let's have one last live show to wrap things up.
I didn't even realize that until you said it. Yeah, they acted like they haven't seen each other in years. The show's still running.
Yeah,
and it's being talked about on Hollywood Tonight, which is America's most trusted news source.
You know, but honestly, like, I was definitely very excited when they brought back Twin Peaks. I was like, finally, we'll get some closure on this show, which didn't exactly happen. But like, I can kind of understand.
We really get all the closure, but yeah.
If someone said, look, we're doing one last episode of Sisters, and it's going to be live just to tie things up. I'm like,
holy God, I would be there. In a second. Matt,
in a second.
Sisters.
Sisters.
I'd love it for them to finally tell.
It wasn't gay enough, so I just wanted to add that. Also from a Christmas movie, another gay Christmas movie.
One of the greatest days of my life is when Cela Ward came into Sephora when I worked at Sephora to get Molton Brown body wash and talked to
you
me.
You remember what she got?
Yes. And she talked to me for 20 minutes, and it was.
Wow. That's a dream.
Talk about lack of Sephora helper and patient confidence.
For some reason, I feel like you kept grabbing onto her, even though she tried to leave.
Did you emerge in like a white towel, pretending you were in the steam room with her, just gossiping at the top of the episode?
Oh, you're like, Cela Ward smelled so good in my trunk.
She did. So good in my trunk. I'm glad you brought that up, because sissies, that's what we call our listeners, sissies have told me, or your Geraldines have told me many times, they're like, you need to talk to Ben about Sisters, because I'll bring it up on the pod. So I'm glad you brought it up.
It's both of us, not just me.
As a young gay boy, I watched Sisters more than anyone had a right to.
And by the way, how
I loved it.
And that how and funny nurses. Is NBC? By the way, Nurses. Well, Nurses was like the
that's a you know, sitcom, you got, but I love it.
It's what
I
got you. It's what got you to Sisters. But like, by the way, how funny was NBC on Saturdays that they said they're like, okay, well, this time slot we used to air Hunter, let's put Sisters in it instead.
True. The violence of a cop show will easily meld with our with that demo.
Yeah, with Julianne Phillips talking to Cela Ward about Susie Kurtz.
I don't think you can stream it anywhere, too.
It's like a forgotten show. It's totally.
I would.
It's actually.
Oh, God.
Ben has been trying to get that show back. And let me tell you, I actually pretended to be into Sisters in the 80s only for Ben, because that show I didn't watch. And it came on after something, and I was like, I don't want to watch that. Like, I've got my own sister. Like, why would I watch this? I could just watch her, you know? But, and I
remember when Travis ran away and it broke up that family.
Maybe, do you have a sister?
But for years, I've been like, yeah, Sisters, guys. I love Sisters. And then finally, I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm not going to pretend to like Sisters anymore. I'm out of the closet now, but I do love, I love Swoozy and Cela from different things.
What a dark secret you just revealed.
It was
about your relationship.
I've never revealed it before.
A bigger secret, by the way, a bigger secret than anything that aired on this show, Divas.
A bigger secret than that, like, when your character's main plot line, spoiler alert, is that they love junk food, and that is their biggest problem in life.
See, that's where I feel like that was a definite Lifetime executive note as well. We all need some kind of healing. For all of the women.
We'll get there. Sorry, I'm jumping the gun.
You know, they all had their own personality quirks, and like, that was her thing, is that she's like a health food guru. She's like a health food guru, but she really likes food. Then that's fine, but she had no she had no relationship to the other women. There was no inter-character relationship between anyone except for two of the characters that was like of concern.
And it was still odd. So more.
And
okay.
I still.
So, well, so more. Okay. Oh, sorry.
And that reveal like hit me like a stinky fish across my face. So we're gonna talk about that near the end, because I'm
it
still.
Wasn't a pie.
Yes.
That's true. So the news guy is like, yeah, that last scene we just saw people slapping really packed a punch, which may explain why one lady is refusing to return after a huge blowout with her co-star. Thank you for the exposition. I will be making out possibly with somebody later because I'm the only one they've got. So
I will be giving a menacing fist bump to someone's lapel later on in this movie. Stay tuned.
I enjoyed that.
So that we're like, who is mad at each other? Who's it gonna be?
So now we go to Morgan Fairchild FaceTiming with Alec Mappa, which, by the way, is a great way to set up a scene. Like, I love that log line for a scene. She's sitting there in the car and she's like, well, why couldn't we film in New York where we shot the series? Which felt like this was actually exposition for something that had no impact.
That didn't happen.
We didn't need to know this.
I think the idea is that she hates Los Angeles,
which has no bearing on anything.
Morgan Fairchild is the most Los Angeles looking of all of them.
Well, and she talks about it doesn't feel like Christmas. It's too sunny, which then just goes to show. If it end up snowing in L.A. at Christmas, then Morgan, like it would.
Like you feel like that's what they're setting up.
Yes.
Right. Well, so Alec Mappa is playing the only role any of us would play in this, which is the gay.
Yeah, this is
assistant
all,
or agent or whatever.
I'm like, we need to see more gay people. I love Alec Mappa. Good for her.
Yeah, me too.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not dissing Alec. I'm just saying like this is like, of course, any of us in a movie. Made for the gays. They're like, we will only have one gay and he will be someone's gay assistant literally with bells on. Okay? Yep. He literally has bells on.
Doesn't it feel like the person who's jumping around in a onesie and he's like, no, elf ears. It felt like this was some type of houseboy.
It was like a weird. So my impression was that he was the agent and that this was some sort of strange boy toy that the agent had, which I felt was also bizarre.
It was tonally strange.
he's going to do coke off that pinball machine, that guy.
Yes. Also, yeah. I want to say to Ronnie's point that Alec Mappa literally had bells on. This movie, the reason why there was no snow at the end of this movie is because I think they splurged their budget on the Foley person, because every time Alec Mappa moved his head, they would put in the bell noises.
Yes. There were actual bells.
I think they were actual bells, you guys. I think Alec Mappa was like, this script sucks, and I'm shooting this from home on my iPhone, so I'm going to make it fun. We're having a Christmas party at my house. I have rainbow ears with bells on them, and there's a twink jumping around in a suit. Just did coke off his ass. Okay? Just send it in.
There will be no Foley. Anything. This will be like Fantasia and the Color Purple. It will be sung live to tape.
This holiday party he was having looked like, I didn't see anyone but him and this twink. So it just looked like there were four other guys and like the clothes
we've
were going
to
come off.
We've all been to that holiday party. Yeah. We're probably throwing it these days.
Tingle, tingle, tingle. So that Alec is like, well, he's like, well, what would the finale be like without you? You're the stepmother of the Lake Sisters. And she goes, stepmother, please. I look as young as they do. Maybe not Dana. What is she doing? Monkey glands? At which point Matt laughed.
I did.
How did they decide to make Morgan Fairchild the mom?
I think that's funny,
and I feel like Morgan insisted that they add in the line where she says, "I look as young as they do."
Yeah, Bob.
Just in case people thought she looked older.
Yeah, that feels very soap opera. And I actually wrote, "Wow, Morgan's pretty good in this. Like she's holding.
She
that
knew
phone
what movie
better.
She was in.
I mean, at one point, I think later on, like." Lonnie Anderson is FaceTiming now. Look, and her phone's completely upside down. Like they didn't.
It was her first time using.
Yeah,
it.
So like I think she's doing great. And then she makes for the gays again. I'm leaning in. She makes a Patti LuPone joke.
Yes,
I would have won a third Tony too if it wasn't for that Patti LuPone saying she was going to retire.
That could have been good, Patti LuPone in here.
So already,
I'm a Lake sister. Nobody sisters like me, Lake sister.
Finishing the hat. But
Mandy and Patty,
I feel like we're starting to be edged here, and I'm into this. Like, yeah. I'm very excited for this
but
movie.
Not completely. Hedging you on the edge of insanity.
So then Alec is like, he's like, listen, you're more than just a stepmother. You're the center of the series, the very foundation. And then he turns to this like houseboy and he goes, I love the ears, but you need to make them less pointy and more elfy. I was like, what is the note for? What is
like, what, no idea. What do you get everything you want at home? Yes. It is very strange. It's very houseboy for me.
Guys, can I just take a moment and apologize to Matt? I'm so sorry for not letting you finish a sentence because you said the word Patty LaPhone and then look what happens to me. You can't say that around me.
Well, it's like
sisters around Ben. You can't do that. There are trigger words.
Jake, if I say the word like Monica, he starts singing off like we're used to this. So it's
we're used to
it's gay DD and it's an affliction that we were all born with.
Yes.
Okay.
I can't, if someone mentions any type of obscure Broadway show, I have to sing the rest of it.
Good for you.
Baby. I don't know why that came to me. Okay. Let's go on.
So Morgan,
just a stepmother to the Lake Sisters. Go ahead, Ben. Take it away.
It is funny. Morgan's holding the phone and she's sorry, I'm going to get my phone because I want to react. And she's like, yes. And they haven't heard about my situation. And I don't know about y'all, but when someone said situation back in the day, that meant they're pregnant. And I went, are they going to try to tell us? Like, right? That's what that usually means.
Right.
It's a weird choice of words.
I'm in the family way.
So she's saying, so what we've learned is that she had five Emmys. She's actually earned five Emmys.
Five Emmys and two Tonys.
Yes. Yes, exactly. She has two Tonys. So she's actually a very acclaimed actress.
Yes.
Who has to come crawling back to this like one time, like, you know, this streaming moment here. And but no one knows about her situation, which we're going to find out later what that is.
With my late husband, Sebastian.
He's like, our squashy internet. Don't worry about it. There's no more internet now. Okay. I've had to resort to paying people to act out my favorite porn scenes. Do it in the reindeer ears.
Do it in the reindeer.
By the way, one thing I have to say I'm really grateful for this movie for, something that they got right is, like, we are tempted to refer to these women by their act, like the actresses' names. Like, we want to say Morgan and Donna and Linda and Lonnie. And conveniently, the writer gave them all names that are just like slight differences. Like Morgan is Margot, Lonnie is Lily, Linda is Lauren, Donna is Dana, and Nicolette is Juliet. So I am really grateful for that.
I am too.
I never use those names. I only use the actresses' names.
Thank you. Because I'm not going through all that shit. I use the actresses' names. It's Lonnie.
I'm a purist. Okay?
She's not, she you doesn't are even get a good one.
I really like to honor the creative vision of this movie.
Well, Ben's a writer, so you know you want to honor that. Yes. Okay. Where Morgan?
So my next note is wait, is this Morgan Fairchild too? No, it's Donna Mills because oh my god, these blonde ladies. Do you know who else? Donna Mills looks just like Kristen Chenoweth, doesn't she?
With the eyes.
Not Kristen Chenoweth. Yeah. No. The other Broadway actress who's a famous sitcom actress now. Blonde hair. She was in Nine. She was on 30 Rock. What's her name?
Jane Krakowski.
Jane Krakowski.
She looks just like Jane Krakowski. Look like her.
I love Jane Krakowski.
I do too.
Donna
Mills. Been great in this.
Donna Mills is sounding like Elizabeth Ashley. She's kind of got a voice like this, and she's kind of like everyone's kind of got their teeth going through this. I mentioned the show Evening Shade with Burt Reynolds. Remember the sitcom Burt Reynolds? Yeah. And Elizabeth Ashley was always on that show making really raunchy jokes, and I thoroughly enjoyed the show Evening Shade. And I remember asking my mother, who is that woman? And she's like, Elizabeth Ashley, she was blah, blah, blah. And I was like, why am I so in love with her? And then I realized, like, she'd done all this, like, theater and stuff like that. And now I'm still obsessed with Elizabeth Ashley.
Yeah.
She's a real, that is a name I've not thought of in a very long time.
Elizabeth Ashley? Yeah.
I don't even know who that is.
I think about her weekly. She's my Roman Empire.
She's your Roman Empire, yes.
Elizabeth Ashley, character actresses in general are my Roman Empire.
Yeah,
what are your
too.
Roman Empire?
That's a gay thing.
Endowed.
I don't understand what Roman Empires mean. I see that meme all over. This is where I'm going to just be like, you know, the old queen here. But what? Well, I don't even know what it means. Because wasn't the Roman Empire a disaster?
It was an article.
That it's an men, article and then a TikTok meme that it showed women asking their boyfriends or husbands how often they thought about the Roman Empire. And shockingly enough, all these guys are saying, oh, I think about like it every
once
day.
A week.
I asked my brother. Okay, my brother,
you. I should
even,
have asked you sooner.
My brother even said, when I asked my brother, he's like, what do you ask that? I think about it a couple of times a week. So now they're kind of like, what is your Roman Empire? So I
Linda
asked
Dano. Him,
oh, Linda Dano and attitudes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my
Ben, what is your Roman Empire?
I mean, it's also like character actresses.
Character
like,
actresses are just for me.
Like, I think of just like, or just like obscure actresses. Like, I just love, I will often just have like little scenes in my head where I like name drop a random actress where I will say something like, oh, I just ran into Susie Kurtz at Sprouts, you know, and I'm like pretending like I'm saying that to someone.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, I got to write that down and incorporate that into a script, Matt? Someday.
I would say probably, this is so weird, I used to love this show. It was like a Canadian show, but they aired it on like kids. There's a show, kids show called Today Special, where there was like this gay mannequin who put on a hat. He said abracadabra, alakapocus, and like it's so gay that he would come alive at night with this beautiful black woman who worked in the department store, and they would just decorate the department store all night with a Muppet mouse. And I think about that show weekly.
You asked.
Wow.
You asked.
I never knew what that meant. I'm so glad I have other people to ask, because there I can never go. Ask it on the internet, because people would be like, shut up, just die already.
You can't know that, you old.
Old. Okay, so Donna Mills is talking to her daughter, and they really need to make, even apparently the daughter thinks, the exposition of the daughter was like, well, mom, you did adopt like 5 kids from... what did she say? Like war-torn countries?
Right.
And by the way, this was Donna Mills' actual adopted daughter. I looked this up. This
no.
Is
it really?
Mills. This is, and I, it was Chloe Mills. This is Donna's adopted daughter. So, I mean...
That's great.
It's a real insider-y kind of movie, you know?
And, yeah, and so she's like, come on, the world...
Yeah.
What?
They use Christopher Atkins, the same kind of... it is, you're right, it's insider-y casting-wise.
Yeah. So they just got anybody who was near. I mean, we're lucky it wasn't like the crossing guard.
Who can you get on the phone, Donna Mills? Who can you get on the phone?
Donna Mills, who do you know? So the daughter's like, you know, Linda's, I'm sorry, I thought this was Linda Evans at first, not Donna Mills. I actually don't have a very strong frame of reference for Donna Mills. It's just like I know the name, and I'm just like, I'm like, is she related to the serial? I'm not sure. But she was...
She's in a lot of Lifetime movies. Did she play twins in an old version
of The Parent Trap? Because Haley Mills.
Haley Mills and Juliet Mills.
Haley Mills is part of my Roman Empire too. I think about her a lot. I love Haley. Poodle's never seen Summer Magic.
Okay, you only get one of those.
That. That's true. I only get one. I read her biography and it's fantastic.
So she was in Knott's Landing. So that's where she's super famous from. And again, I hate saying this, guys, but I'm too young for that. Because that when that came on, my parents were like, no. Or Falcon Crest. I didn't see those shows. Yeah, I think we were too young or something. Like we
weren't. Well, we were too
them.
Young. I only got to see them because, and maybe Ronnie, because where you grew up, but I don't know if it was for Jake and Ben, but. Because we were so close to Dallas in Oklahoma, everybody watched Dallas. Like Dallas was, I mean, everybody did watch Dallas, but it was such a huge thing. Like families would watch it. So literally, it's like all the women would come over.
Grandmother.
On Friday night, they would come over and we'd watch Dallas. And I remember they'd watch Dallas, the episode in, and then they're like my Aunt Peggy and Aunt Darla, they're all going to leave, but they're still kind of chatting and talking, but they would leave the TV on. And that's because Falcon Crest would come on after Dallas. And then I remember Falcon Crest and be like, what is this show? I want to be on this show where they're rich and they live someplace besides Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah. And I missed all those nighttime soaps because, you know, as a kid, I just was watching the sitcoms and stuff. I wasn't interested in any of the hour-long shows. Like literally the only hour-long show I would watch was Hunter, because it was basically after Golden Girls.
When my mother would be tired of her children, I would get sent to my grandmother's house And we would, my grandmother would have, these were usually Fridays or Saturday nights. And my grandmother would have Stouffer's French bread pizzas. And oh, God, we would watch Dallas. Mm. And I would usually fall asleep by the time Falcon Crest happened. But my grandmother would tell me all of the people who were sleeping with people on Dallas.
Wow.
That's her daughter. And that's this person's daughter. He's mean, but she's been sleeping with him in the background. And my mother hated. She's like, watch, call your wife, Chambers, watch all these trashy soaps with you.
But that your grandma got you into Days of Our Lives, too, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's my grandmother. Boy. That's me, too. I used to skip school and walk down the street to my Sithy's house, my grandmother, and she would be with her two sisters, and they would be playing cards all day. And I skipped PE. I refused to go to PE, and that was right before lunch. So
but you're such
walk.
An athlete.
I know, right?
Who would have known? Athlete.
So I left and walked down the ditch to their house, and we would watch Days of Our Lives and Another World every day. And then I started skipping the after lunch period because Sunset Beach came on for a while. I had to watch that Sunset one Beach. Too.
That explains Linda Dano. Because the underworld, another world.
Yes, she can cry. I mean, Linda Dano can cry literally at the drop of a hat. And she Felicia. Would do it every day. Yeah, Felicia Gallant. She would just be, and those big earrings, she'd have earrings like this big. And they'd be like, Mom, I've been arrested. She'd be like, oh! Just sobbing, mascara coming down her face. Oh my God.
And she had gay friends. Like, literally all her friends were gay on that show. They were coded.
I think her cast, her husband or boyfriend or whatever, seemed so gay at the time, right? Didn't he?
Yeah.
I really didn't get into anything soapy until it was like 1990 when Twin Peaks came out. And I remember on like TGIF, for some reason, instead of having like a sitcom, like at the end of the lineup at like 9:30, they did like a half hour. Hey, if you're not watching Twin Peaks, this is what's happened so far. And they said, there's this person and this person. They're in love. But then there's this person and that person. And I never knew shows could be intertwined like that. And I was fascinated.
I loved it. I'm that way for you. Yeah.
It's not like a soap opera in the same way. But like that was my first time really being like, oh, my God. And then I felt sad that I missed this entire like heyday of these primetime soaps, like Dynasty. You know,
that show was so ahead of its time, and there's so many shows that they're trying to be Twin Peaks now, and that show was in the fucking 90s.
Yeah. Well, we have to keep talking about this show, or otherwise, we're never gonna.
Yes.
Can we?
Why didn't they bring the Log Lady? Actually, RIP. She died too.
She died recently.
Yeah. So Donna Mills is talking to her adopted daughter, and she's like, you know, she's apprehensive that she's going to see this person that she's been feuding with. And her mom and her daughter's like, Mom, like, no one cares about your silly squabble. It's ancient history, you know? And she's like, no, it was more than a squabble. And she goes, listen, I've seen the Barbara Walters interview a zillion times, Mom. So this was a big enough feud that it made it to Barbara Walters.
These women were superstars. They're making them sound like, And then she
whenever
says,
ago, which we still don't know.
You can know how long
it was 5 minutes ago or 25 years ago.
She references it but we know what time it was in time because she's, and I even sent her a card for Y2K.
That's right.
And so we had a Y2K reference that sets this conflict in time.
Current references only.
And so then she's like, and she didn't respond.
She didn't respond. It's like her email stopped working, and then the bank sauce went dark because nobody knew what to do after the year 2000 hit. No one programmed 2000 hit on clocks. Gosh, that was a big one. That was a
come
big
on,
doozy.
Mom. You're America's sweetheart from a hit sitcom who in real life adopted 5 children from war-torn countries. You're practically Mother Teresa. Is there any other information you'd like me to impart on this television phone call? I mean, this
Mother Teresa, we should pitch that to Lifetime. Ding, ding. That's when I kind of threw my remote and I went, oh no, please don't do this.
So now we have, then it goes to Nicolette Sheridan, who's with her son in Central City.
Her twink son.
Oh my God, this guy. Wow. What a cute guy.
Oh, he's so cute. His butthole is so smooth. He's just a little twink.
But he's in like a suit.
Don't make him terrible.
He's in like a
suit. I actually have a set.
He's in like a suit that looks like he's about to sell a car. It's really, and like, yes, she's in almost like casual clothes.
I'm gonna look up this actor.
And they're in a set. So we're like, these are the that are not, these are the only two that are not doing FaceTime. And the son is smarmy. So we think, okay, this is, the son's gonna be the villain. And as the show goes on, you think that like, okay, the son is gonna come to the house and cause drama, maybe steal like the girl.
Human trafficking the son's just is there involved. For the scene. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Never really see him again.
I mean, they make you think, God, this guy's gonna be packing, you know, packing people in boxes and then naming them couches and then shipping to them from the Wayfair site. he's such a cute guy in a suit.
Did you see what was on the computer screens? It was things like from the graphics department. Well, I don't know if there was a graphics department, but it was things like quarterly earnings, 35%, 25%. There was nothing else labeled.
Ibsen Lipsum.
Yeah.
His name was Dividends. It's Lane Herron.
That's definitely a gay Lane porn name.
He's from Mississippi.
Hot.
That's all you need to
that
know.
That is hot. Yes. Oh, wow. He's like, I got out of there. I'm like, oh, no, you've got a lot of S's in your name. Get over here.
His first father was a con man, and that's how he learned to be an actor. Anyway,
that's another story.
Oh, yeah. It's too much.
His first father as opposed to his second?
I don't know. I don't understand.
What?
Anyway.
Where are you looking at this?
IMDb.
I love this busybody Google shit. Like, well, his first daddy, let me tell you
his
this.
His first daddy was a con man.
And gave his mama syphilis twice.
The second was a poker dealer who taught him an unfractured poker face and an ultimate focus.
Okay, so this, for Nicolette's exposition, she's like, listen, I am not friends with her anymore, and I don't have anything to say about it, but we started together. She was like a sister to me. We were roommates. And then, do you know what she did? This... Wow.
During the Y2K crisis, do you know what she did?
And then, in the very last day of 1999... I finally get a call.
Oh, I can't believe I have to retread this all during these quarterly earnings and dividends moments.
Yes.
Their big fight that has even been discussed on Barbara Walters is that Morgan Fairchild moved out of town and then ghosted Nicolette. And that's it. No, yeah, it can't be that. It needs to be something more.
No, it's Donna Mills, right?
Donna Mills
ghosted that, her.
Yeah, there needed to be like real fucked up shit because.
Well, there is actually.
But then they act like that's not a big deal. We get all that. That was the worst reveal. We're going to get to that. I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
That'll be on episode 7 of our show.
So the son is all smart. He's like, well, I'm glad to see you're all beyond that, mother. Thanks for telling me the story of the 51st time.
And screw over today?
She goes, well, just because you're my son doesn't mean I won't fire you. And then we hear the sound like a... saved by the Zoom technology that we use.
Konnichiwa.
Two random Japanese people.
Let's show that she's an international businesswoman.
Yes.
And she goes,
well,
Konnichiwa, Mina-san. It's like, wow.
I know. And I love that the ladies were like, just looking at them like, seriously, you guys are really making us shoot this on our iPhone? Really?
It was totally
chat roulette.
There was two people on chat roulette who wound up on Nicolette Sheridan. Yes. Like, whoa.
They're like, what? And she improv that line. Konnichiwa.
I learned this from Mark Cherry.
This movie was made during COVID. Like, they had to sequester people, and like people
It does reek of COVID.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right.
That is what it is. Yeah.
It does, but I just thought it was so funny. Like, I love when they like work in references to like current technology. Like, saved by the Zoom, but the sound effect is like this weird like Casio keyboard thing. It's like. Sounds like my Zoom telephone call coming in.
They're like, bring, bring, saved by the Zoom. Like, guys.
Oh, there's that AI technology saving me again.
Well, guys, we got through the intro of the ladies and why they don't like each other, so I think that's pretty good. And next, we're going to get to the love interest in part. There's a love story coming in part 3 of this.
Oh,
holiday
this is where I have the most questions.
All right. Well, let's get them. We will be back tomorrow with part three, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. If you want the video, come to our Patreons. And by our, I mean any one of us. We've all got
any
them.
Any one of us.
We all got them.
Bye.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.